Welcome to the Teen Life Podcast, where we explore your questions to help you make meaningful connections with teenagers, because no teen deserves to feel alone. Have a question you'd like us to address? Email us at podcast@teenlife.ngo. Now, let's jump into this week's question.
Is this anger just hormones, or is it something deeper going on? That is the question we have today, and I got to be honest with you, I don't think that's an easy one to answer. So we only have like 20 minutes, so this is going to be interesting. So really, we're kind of talking a little bit about a perspective shift, because, like, you know, it's funny. I just, in a group this past week, was talking about anger with some students, and I was telling them they didn't grasp the concept of anger is okay. Like, you're okay. Mm-hmm. It's okay to have anger. It's an emotion that you're allowed to have. It's how we react to it. It's the messenger. It's not the real issue. And so if you have a teen, or you're seeing a teen that you would label as an angry kid, it's not really that they're always angry. It's that there's something else going on.
Yeah.
Like, what's behind that anger? I try to stress to my kids, my teens all the time, that if a teacher's coming at you, what's behind that? Is it because you're not doing your stuff and they're frustrated? Is it because they're getting pressure from somewhere that you can't even control? Mm-hmm. Like, what's really behind that stuff? Because more often than not, most people don't want to choose to walk around being angry. Like, right. And if you do, that's a miserable life. So they're overwhelmed kids, or anxious kids, or embarrassed kids, or powerless kids. Like, anger is the emotion that makes them feel powerful when everything else just kind of makes them feel crummy and vulnerable.
Right. It's like something that they have control over, right? And I think a lot of times, like, anger isn't necessarily the emotion that they are feeling. Right. It's like the outburst behind the actual emotion. And, like, I don't know, Carly, you've done more research into this than I have, but, like, why is anger most at the forefront of all the other emotions in teenagers?
For teenagers,
is it just because it's a less complex one and it's easier for them to channel or express than the other emotions, or is there other things going on?
Well, I definitely think, you know, I love the brain science. So fascinating. But the emotional center of the brain, so that's your amygdala, is highly reactive during adolescence. So that part, your emotions are highly reactive. And then your prefrontal cortex, I'm sure you've heard that, is not fully developed. So that is responsible for impulse control and long-term thinking. So thinking through consequences of our actions is still developing until your mid-20s. Wow. So you're thinking, like...
So my age.
No, yeah, I think you're finally good. But so basically what that means is they're going to react faster and they're going to react bigger and they're not going to think through that consequence. And so you're adding all of these things up, and that's why you'll see these really big emotional swings. They might be so excited and happy one second, and then you get the super anger on the other, and it's because their brain is trying to process all of this stuff, and then you're adding all this pressure on top of it. So they're already, their brain is trying to keep up.
Vulnerable.
And then they've got academic pressure. They've got home pressure. They've got social comparison. They're not getting enough sleep, hardly ever. And then you add stress on top of it, and their nervous system is just so overworked. They are constantly in fight or flight. And that is where you see these emotions come about. But I think one thing that's important to note is their hormones and their brain are going to amplify those emotions, but they don't create their character. So if you do have just this chronic explosive anger, that's not just puberty. And we've got to get to the bottom of, like, okay, what is it? Because their brain isn't creating this anger, it's amplifying it.
Yeah.
And so if you do feel like there are more red flags of, no, this isn't just like I'm having an outburst or we got really angry about this one thing. Last episode, we talked about language. A lot of times anger comes out through language.
Yeah.
And so go back and listen to that one if you haven't. But I think just this chronic, I'm destroying a room anger is, let's maybe look at something deeper than that, because that you can't just say, oh, it's puberty.
Right. I think there's something more complex going on behind the scene. It's just another hole in the wall. He likes doing that. But I think the question is, like, how can we like equip teens with the tools that they need to express those feelings beyond the anger? Like, hey, what's the source maybe of this anger? And I think just, like, helping them identify what they're feeling. Like, going back, why did you break that? Why did you break the wall? What things were you feeling in that moment?
Or like what led up to the anger. You right. don't usually start with anger. Mm-hmm. Like usually it builds into something. So first I was frustrated yeah. and then I felt like I wasn't being heard mm-hmm. and then I exploded.
Right.
So let's go back two or three steps and be like, okay, well, how could we have handled this at yeah. frustrated,
right.
not at anger?
I think too, like a big thing that teens, all of us, but especially teens is like brain science wise is more vulnerable to outbursts. But I think we're distracting from a problem and teens are feeling all of the stress. They're feeling all of the things and it's like a quick fix. I can grab my phone. I can scroll and they're not actually addressing the root issue. And when that goes unaddressed, it grows and grows and grows, like you say, to the frustration, then to the anger, then to the outburst.
Right.
And so trying to remove distractions and actually help them like be okay with sitting with discomfort for a bit, mm-hmm. right? And not immediately going to a distraction and being like, okay, your discomfort, let's start there. Why, what's making you uncomfortable? And then how can we address it before it grows? Teens, they need to learn how to express themselves clearly. They're still learning that. I'm still learning that. And so having grace and providing them with tools or conversations that can help them express themselves.
Well, and I think, too, helping them identify triggers is huge.
Yeah, that's big. Yeah.
And so I know me as a parent, there are certain things that my kids will do that I could look back and be like, oh, I should have known that was about to trigger me because that is like thing that gets me going. And if you can start to identify those things and when it happens, you can almost tell yourself, okay, I need to take a deep breath. Or I need to remove myself from this situation because I can tell this is going to trigger.
Sure. The hard thing with teens, though, in that case, is a lot of times their triggers are out of their control. Yeah. Whenever they're in schools or they're in settings where they can't, like if one of their triggers is an adult who's maybe not handling them the proper way or the best way, like what do you do about that? So again, like I said at the top of the episode, like the anger is not bad. In fact, if you have anger, that's actually a good sign, I think, because it signals that you maybe have injustice. It's maybe protecting some boundaries that you have. It can fuel change. It can do things that you want them to have. If someone is constantly happy and never experienced anger, like that to me is a red flag, honestly, a red flag. And also that person's probably going to have an explosion like a volcano in the near future because they aren't experiencing what they need to experience. So if a teen is experiencing a healthy anger, that it can be expressed without threats or harm. It's something that they can talk about afterwards. It's something that maybe leads to problem solving, like especially like with injustice or social issues. Like that's the kind of stuff that leads to problem solving. And also if it doesn't damage any relationships that they have, like and like an unhealthy version of that is if a teacher is being one of their triggers and they pop off on them, that is something that would damage that relationship. And that would something that would be hard for them to handle. Yeah. So like there are healthy ways to process this. Now, obviously, the unhealthy ways are if it becomes physical or if it has some sort of intimidation aspect to it. It comes with, property destruction is one thing. Like I have a lot of students that I talk to that say that they like to hit things when they're angry. And I always tell them, like, that's okay. It just needs to be something that you can't hit, like a pillow or if you go to a rage room, whatever. But like putting a hole through your wall, even though that only hurts you and whoever has to pay for that wall, that's not a proper way to do that. If it's something that escalates quickly or unpredictably, which is usually the case with teens, that's something to kind of keep an eye out for, is like, how do we teach them to let that anger come, but not at a rapid rate that leaves them, if it leaves them with a shame instead of, I don't know, any sort of resolve. And then just if it's something that's constantly going, those are all the ways they could be unhealthy.
Yeah. I had a student who, like, I think one of his triggers, if I had to like evaluate, was just like competition. So like this was a kid who played golf and like would break drivers and break club. Out of frustration, which I understand. And like, I remember one time we're on a retreat and we're like playing like a game where like you're just pulling flags and stuff. And like, he is like out there angry, like tackling a middle school girl. And it's like, we're pulling him aside. And like, I think one of the big things that you need to know is like, we validate feelings. Like there's a balance to having these conversations and like, we validate the feelings, but you can't validate or support the harmful behavior. And a lot of times those like harmful behavior are signs that it's a red flag and it needs to be addressed. And so like one of the things that you can do is just like, hey, like I validate the feelings. I know, I see that you're frustrated and I'm not going to yell. Like, well, we're just going to have a conversation. We're just going to talk about this. And I think with that student, it was like, all right, maybe we need to not play golf. why are you feeling this? And like, I think it's just this pressure of a need to perform, and getting to the root of it helps you have that conversation, but never validate or just be okay with the destructive or unhealthy responses of anger. And like Tobin said, there's healthy anger, but how can you find that balance?
Well, and if you're the person that's having to regulate that, if you're the adult or the person that's regulating it, you can't come on the attack. And a lot of times what I've told adults that are dealing with this is that if you stay calm and your voice stays at a calm level, almost like an annoyingly calm level, like if you get to a point where they have to like really lean in to hear you, it will not only show them that they are the one being louder, but it's also going to force them to kind of have to come down to get to your level. That's an easy way to kind of at least pull down the tension with the voice. Because whenever you start yelling back, even if it's positive things, even if you're like, oh, it's okay, you're doing great, you know, like it can make things become a situation that you don't want it to be. And listen, if this is something that you notice a teen or even an adult that's a chronic thing, or it's an irritability thing where they're constantly being this way, that might just not be anger issues. That might be something that you need to look deeper into. So also know the difference between that. And there's a difference between having anger about situations versus this person's constantly walking around angry at the world. Like that might be a thing that we need to look into a little bit deeper.
When going back to the brain science, we did an episode maybe a year ago now with Brenda McAdoo, and she talked about that 90-second rule, so that it takes 90 seconds for those chemicals in your brain when you get triggered to leave your body.
Right.
She had a way better way of describing this
cool
than
off,
I am
cool
for like, sure.
Right.
And so talking to teens about, okay, letting them know that, taking a deep breath, if you're doing that after 90 seconds, or if you've like started the ball rolling and then it's hard to stop once you get to that point, okay, we need to focus on that first 90 seconds when you get upset. However, I will say that is never going to be helpful when they're in the moment.
Yeah.
That is a conversation that has to take place when they are calm. And I will be honest, as a parent, I am so
really hard
about at this.
It's really hard.
Of when they get, if your kids get triggered and get angry, it's so easy to meet them at that level or to be like, calm down. And if you could think about a time when you were angry, the last thing you wanted someone to tell you is calm down. Think about your spouse being like, hey, will you just calm down? That is about to send me to another level.
I don't like that now. Like, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. But I feel like that's what we do a lot to our kids. It's like, hey, calm down. And that's not what they need in that moment. So acknowledging their feelings, hey, I see you're frustrated.
Yeah.
Not just saying, hey, chill out. Yeah. Hey, I see you're really frustrated. Mm-hmm. I'm acknowledging that. And you can correct if they are destroying property. Hey, we're not going to do that right now.
Yeah, that's different.
That's different. Or, hey, we're not going to yell. Let's talk about this. Let's reset and try again. Even if you are like, I'm going to take a deep breath because I'm getting frustrated, that is also showing them how I can take a deep breath. They might take one with you or not. One time I tried to get my son to take deep breaths with me. It didn't go well. I'm just going to be honest. It was not ideal. But we've got to get them regulated before we can have any sort of correction that is going to actually be beneficial.
Yeah, I've said this before, and I know some people don't say this is a good practice, but if they're not hurting themselves or hurting something around them, sometimes the best practice is to let it literally like walk away and leave them alone for X amount of time. Sometimes, like, I would say no more than an hour, but like, to your point, you're not going to solve anything when they're at their height, like, of anger. It's just, and that no one can do that. Like, all you're going to open the door to is people saying hurtful things at that point.
Right.
And so, just if you can't get them to calm down in 9 seconds, then okay, if they're in a room and they're safe and they're not destroying things and hurting themselves, walk away. Like, that stuff can be fixed later. Like, it's like we have to build regulation outside of the conflict. Like, these things are not going to be fixed in the middle of an explosion.
Right.
And then also, like, you have to reinforce like daily regulation. Like, that, like, the habits of what they live matter. Like, consistent sleep, being physical, not being on screens all the time, like having routines and stuff to stick to kind of help them. And then also finding them safe outlets of friends or peers or adults to talk to. I mean, that kind of stuff makes a difference. But again, if you tell somebody in the heat of a moment, well, did you get sleep today? Like they're gonna be like, oh, I didn't. Like, and it's just you're not gonna solve anything when they're in anger. So really, a lot of times you're just crisis managing until you can get them to a point where you can talk to them about it.
And I also think it's important to going back to these feelings, like we want to validate their feelings. We want to make sure they feel heard. That doesn't mean you're validating the way they're reacting. Yeah. It doesn't mean you're validating any sort of harm that they're bringing apart. But I think a good question, once again, being curious, what is this anger protecting right now? Because a lot of times the anger, as we've said, is maybe covering something that's mm-hmm. vulnerable. That might be they're embarrassed. It might mm-hmm. be that they're scared to fail, so I'm going to get angry instead. Social rejection. Maybe they just feel super out of control. And so asking that question, what do I think is going on? And it also makes it, I don't know, if I'm more understanding and come to a place of I want to understand what's happening, not just fix it. Yeah. It's just going to be better for everyone.
And I love that. It's my favorite Ted Lasso quote, is be curious, not judgmental. Like go in there with questions of what's behind this. Again, you have to do it at the proper time. And not only is that going to possibly help them in the future, but it's also going to strengthen your relationship with that teen mm-hmm. and to the point where you could be, if you aren't already, you could be a safe outlet for them in the future.
Right.
And so we want them to know that, like, again, I mean, I referenced Inside Out the last episode, like this, it's just, it does such a great job of depicting how teens deal with, how teens' emotions are wreaking havoc on them as they're trying to figure out life. And so just remind them that this is okay. Having emotions is good. Mm-hmm. It's just, we need to control it better.
And like we've said, you're just not going to get the reaction that you want if you're coming in super hard and heavy in the moment. I can think of exactly zero times that my children have apologized in an appropriate way when they're upset. You know what I mean? Like if you say you're sorry and they're still upset, what you're getting is sorry. You're not getting actual like reflection and here's what's happening. But if you can keep them safe, let them calm down, and then later be like, okay, let's talk about what just happened. Not every time, but a lot of times that conversation just goes so much better where they can go, you're right. I handled that very poorly, and I'm so sorry. And I shouldn't have talked to you that way, or I shouldn't have blown up that way. I think one of the things that, once again, this is built outside of the conflict, but teaching them, okay, we're going to pause. So maybe that's stepping away. Maybe that's go get a drink of water. Maybe that's the 90-second rule. Maybe they have a song that they sing in their head when I'm getting triggered that is going to distract me and move, especially if it's something like a teacher that is triggering to them mm-hmm. that they can't really do anything about that. They probably can't get up and walk out of that classroom in that moment. It's probably going to make things worse.
Right.
So what is something we can do? I was talking to one of our facilitators right now, said a girl, this is more for anxiety, but I think it would work for anger too. She taps her foot. So when she is feeling anxious or nervous, she taps her foot. But maybe that's something, if you're feeling angry, you tap your foot, you
count your fingers,
you're pinching or like putting some pressure on one of your fingers to take your mind off of that. Then naming it. I'm overwhelmed. I'm not just mad. I'm overwhelmed. Yeah. I'm frustrated with myself. It's not even you. I'm feeling frustrated that I can't do this. Helping them name it.
If you're a teen and you're in schools and you do have that situation where the teacher is the cause of it, whether it's their fault or yours or not, it doesn't matter. But like, know your resources and know that your school probably has some sort of counselor that you can go talk to. Like, ask calmly and gently, can I please go talk to counselor to calm down? Or some schools even go as far as having calming spaces for students that they need. So like, you know what you have, know your resources. It's okay to advocate for yourself even through anger. Mm-hmm. You just have to do it in a calm manner, or else you're going to. And also, you got to be okay with the teacher saying no or not right mm-hmm. now. And if you feel like you're not being honored in that space, then that's a different conversation later. But mm-hmm. if you fight back just because they're not giving you what you need, like that's not going to do you any good.
From the flip side too, the answer is if you are reacting in a way that is anger first, you're probably also not getting what you want.
Yeah.
So if you are angry at a teacher, you screaming at them is not going to bring any sort of change or do what you want it to do. So I think sometimes even thinking, what do I want to get out of this situation and how can I act in a way that is going to help me?
I think just providing teens ourselves like with these tools. I think also like in teen culture, especially right now, there's like a whole term for making people mad, of like rage baiting, of like, hey, my whole goal right now is to press your buttons to get a angry reaction out of you. And like, I think teaching these teens and ourselves ways, just like, okay, like Carly said, pause. Like, in certain situations, like, is this worth even getting angry about, right? Like, right. is this mm-hmm. person even just trying to draw me off sides to try to rage bait mm-hmm. me? And I think, like, providing them with these tools that say, okay, is this worth getting angry about? Let me name it. Like, why am I angry? And then the most important, like, choose your action next.
Yeah.
Right? What's going to be a productive action to help solve the source
yeah.
of my anger?
The teens these days, like, I just talked to someone the other day about rage baiting is a real big thing right now
yeah.
where other teens will try to draw reactions out of yeah. teens. And that is unfortunately a thing that they have to learn to deal with. And the end goal with all this stuff is always like, how are you going to do this when you're 25, when you're right. 30? Like, if you don't learn it now, it's going to be a lot harder to learn when you're an adult and you don't have as much like grace with this yeah. kind of stuff. Because right. like, you know, I always tell kids like the weird, unfortunate thing about school is that you have a ton of grace. You can't be fired from this job. You have to be here.
You have to.
And so, like, use that while you can, but eventually that's going to go away. And so just a reminder that, like, we're all going through this together, and we'll make sure that we do this well. We just thank you again for listening to the Teen Life Podcast. Subscribe on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts, and reach out to us on social media or to podcast@teenlife.com to submit any questions. And if you need any more resources, we'll put links in the show notes on how to help with mental health and brain development, all those things. But we're so glad that you're here to learn more about teens, and we'll see you next time.